It seems like every step I have taken for the past 4 days, I fell down. Every time I walk, there's ice somewhere, and I find myself laying on the ground. And this morning, I fell walking to the truck to get ready for church, and my lovely wife comes to the back of the truck where I'm laying on the ice and goes, "Did you fall down?" Reminds me of a story I heard from the Reverend Grade E. Nutt. Anybody remember him? Y'all ever watch Hee Haw? You saw him. Tragically, he died in a plane crash. He was an actual Baptist preacher. And he talked about a revival service where the great healer came. The great healer, there was a man in church, walked on crutches all of his life. And he put him behind the curtain up front and he said, "I'm going to heal this man and he's going to walk today." He said, "Brother Sims, throw out that crutch." And the crutch come banging out across the front of the church. And the people moaned and prayed and they hollered and they carried on. And he got more powerful. And he said, "Brother Sims, throw out the other crutch." And the other crutch came flying out from behind the curtain and banged across the stage. And the crowd was going crazy. And he hollered at him. He said, "Brother Sims, walk out here." And from behind the curtain he heard, "I can't." And the Reverend said, "Why not?" And Brother Sims says, "Because I fell down." I felt an awful lot like him this week. Don't fall. Even when you do, don't ask somebody if they just fell down. Help them up. That's what offering is for. Let us give as the ushers come forward. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, this morning when I was walking into church, I heard the church alive. People visiting, people saying hello, people saying they're glad to be back. People saying, "I've missed you." People saying, "How was your day? How was your week?" Just buzz, buzz, buzz. All at the beginning. There is no greater joy than to hear that as you're walking in. Brothers and sisters saying good morning to each other. I want to draw your attention for a moment to our local artist. He's been doing this for a while. Now it's time we give him a little attention. Denny draws these beautiful, beautiful things from his art. It's art to me, where he takes a scripture verse, lays them out, and then draws a picture how he sees it laid out. If that ain't God speaking, I don't know what is. If he has a bunch of extra ones, mob him. Take them from him. Ask him where some others are. I've got a whole collection of them. I'm going to start an art auction. Gallery, that's the word. A what? A gallery, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. A gallery of these. And these are beautiful, hand-drawn from somebody who walks with the Spirit. And I am pleased every time Denny hands me one and says, look what I found. So after church on the way out, find him and get you an original. You can't have mine. Amen for that. How are you this morning? Glad to see you this morning. Upon your heart there are things you want to share. Joys and concerns. I'll start off with joys. Wendy turned 53 yesterday. 43.
2023,
yeah, right. And we went to see the movies. And you all don't have to sing to her today because I got the whole movie theater to, before the movie started, sing happy birthday to her in the whole movie theater. Because I don't care. Amen. Others, joys or concerns, what's on your heart today? Joe Cross is home. Call him, send him a card. He went to the hospital with chest pains and shortness of breath and they couldn't figure it out. But he did not have a heart attack. They just figured it and they found a spot on his lung. Could be a little touch of pneumonia or something along those lines. Joe will be with his family doctor tomorrow and we'll get a further report on that. Others, this morning, joys or concerns? Amen. If there are none others, let us join our hearts together. And if you have unspoken, just your hand up and down, please. Thank you all. Join with me together in prayer. How do we start? When we approach you, Father, when we look at Jesus Christ, when we look at everything that's done in this moment, how do we start? We start by being eternally thankful that you love us. We start by looking at you in the face of our brothers and our sisters. when they hold us close, when they lean on us, when they talk to us, when they share with us, that's blessing. Because you've given it to us to love them through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have much to discuss. We have much on people's hearts. You've heard everything laid out here, Father. We have sickness to deal with. We have disease that's trying to rack the body over. We have those that are in and out of the hospital. We continue to lift up Brother Bob and ask that your will be done. And if it is so, that you call him home. But we're ever mindful of the blessings so richly bestowed upon us. Not piece by piece, but wholly. One day we will all live with you. One day we will all leave here, and the imperfect will be changed into the perfect and praised forevermore. I ask, brothers and sisters, that you heard the names, the praises, the concerns, the prayers, the upliftings, the sudden blessings, the movement within hearts, the workings of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, place them in your prayer life and pray them on. And be ever mindful of how much Jesus prayed for us in the garden. How uplifting it is, Father. We keep in prayer those who teach, those who preach, those who lead in whatever capacity. From something as simple to a small organization all the way up to the President of the United States. And for the families that lost so much in Tucson. And for the senator who is coming around. For those in the field of missionary, Father. Bringing that message everywhere. Prison ministries. In the rescue mission. On the street corner. Continue to strengthen them. For those who watch over and protect our very lives, those who run into burning buildings, those who release us from a wrecked car, those who care for us in the hospital, those who watch over us here at home and far away. Keep them ever in our prayers. Bind us together, Father, in prayer. Bind us together in heart. Tune us together. Bring us together as one. Have us show that love, that example, that we are yours. And that those lost can find their way just like we did. We hold all of this dear. And bind it together in Jesus' precious name. We pray. Amen. I'm going to change things around a little bit, and we'll go ahead and do the communion now. That way we can settle in for the message. As we draw near to this time, let us remember what communion stands for. It's not an act. It's not a ritual. It's a remembrance. Too often, too many times, we get lost and we forget, I don't need this thing to tell me how to do communion. Communion is taking a moment to bring yourself closer to God. When you walk this path today, when you come up and you receive the bread and cup, remember what it's for. It's not, oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, I got to walk up. It's because this do in remembrance of me. It is because on a night, Jesus Christ, before he would be sacrificed to save us, would look at his disciples and say, this bread, my body, this cup, my blood. We don't take them lightly. We don't take them just because. We take them because they're gifts. That's communion. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, on that night, your Son, betrayed, preparing to be broken, preparing to be destroyed, took a bread and a cup and said, "My body, my blood, do this in remembrance of me. Let it not pass." We ask your blessings upon this. We ask that we need not recite rituals. We need not simply but to lean forward and say, "We take this bread as the body of Christ. We take this cup as the blood of Christ." Let us join our hearts together and prepare for this time of communion. And reflect as we approach as to what it does mean. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All those who are in love with Christ, all those who are members of the body, all those who are saved in Him, prepare your hearts now and approach as we share in this time of communion. Let us pray. Father, thank you for looking over us at this time. Thank you for keeping us close to you, and thank you for allowing us to do this in remembrance. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Psalms chapter 40, the whole chapter. It's only 6,000 verses, so we'll get right to it. Psalms chapter 40. Doing good means waiting. Doing the Father's will means patience. David writes that as much here. While we wait, we can be all over again in love with God. Psalms chapter 40. David writes these words, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet upon a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, there would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, 'Here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I do desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me, for troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me. I cannot see. There are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, 'Aha, aha,' be appalled at their own name. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, 'The Lord be exalted.' Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Oh my God, do not delay." Let us join our hearts together. Heavenly Father, open our hearts, open our minds. Let us seek you. Let us hear your word. Let us strengthen from it. Let our hearts swell to bursting, and as we go from here, be prepared to shout your name and the salvation of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You've got a car. You're married. You've got children. You've got them in the back seat. You'll hear these words. When will it be time? When will it be time? When will it be time? If they're getting ready to go somewhere, when will it be time? When will it be time? Is it time? When will it be time? I'm telling you, I pray for deafness at those points. And forever, and I mean forever, I'm telling my children, be patient. Settle down. It seems like they do it when they get in the car. Ken Davis, a great Christian comedian, tells this story, and I'm going to use a little bit of it. I can see some of you smiling because you already know Ken Davis. But he tells this story. He says, my children, my daughters would wait until they were in the car to start going, is it time? Are we there yet? Is it time? Are we there yet? And to act up. And you know what you do when you're driving the car with a rearview mirror? You use it to aim. Don't you not even laugh because you've all done it. I can see you. And children have a blessing. They know which corner of the car to hide in so that you can't reach back there. Ken said, I was telling that story. And after it was finished, an old man came hobbling toward me on his cane going like this. And he said, in my experience, when somebody's pointing at you like that, it's not good. I knew this old man was coming forward to crawl up one side of me and down the other, probably to tell me how rough I was for being so mean to my children. And so I walked down to meet him so he wouldn't have to go too far and get too mad. And he came up to me with that finger and he looked at me and he said, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something right now about that story. He said, and a little twinkle suddenly came in the old man's eye. He said, just a little touch on the brakes will bring those children right back into play. When will it be time? We're adults. We find ourselves doing the same thing. When? 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 I want it now. I want it now. I don't want to be patient. But today we want to know everything. Don't you? You want to know when the newest products are coming out. For whatever reason. Hair care. I saw a commercial on the television set the other day advertising Prel shampoo as the greatest thing to hit the market since sliced bread. Ladies and gentlemen, Prel shampoo has been on the market since, 1,000 years. And I use it. It's the only thing I use because I'm cheap. We want to know when the newest cars are coming out. I got a friend who is desperately in debt. Desperately. Drives a new car. The other day he made the statement to me, well, I guess this spring we'll be getting a new car. I said, that car is 2 years old. He goes, yeah, but it doesn't smell like it anymore. I said, but you're making payments. Well, I can make more. We want to know when the newest movie's coming out. We went to see the movies last night. And there's a new movie coming out that I want to see. It's not coming out till May. I wasn't happy about that. I want to call somebody. Put it out now. Thank you very much. I want to see it. When will it be time? I want to see it now. New everything. When will it be time? When will it be time for me to do this? And what happens the minute the new gets here? What does it become? Old. Luckily, I love old things. Look at my boots. The same boots that threw me down on the ground that made my wife go, did you fall? We want everything now. When will it be time? When will it be time for this? When will it be time for that? Rush, rush, rush. Go, go, go. Burn up time. We are an impatient people and we get wound up about the dumbest things. 2012. I can't wait till 2012 gets here. The Peterbilt will be paid off. Other people are waiting to see what happens. What is it? 12-21-2012. Isn't that the day the earth ends? Oh, boy, I've been having fun with that. I went in a store the other day with a friend. We was at work, and he was been yammering on about it. We were talking, and the world, you know, is going to end on that time. What do you think about that, preacher man? And I didn't say much. I'm not usually one to get in confrontations or talk a lot. Went into the store. We were buying something to drink, and I reached over at the county counter, and I picked up a whole box full of Three Musketeers bars. Must have been 30 of them in there, and I tucked it under my arm. He goes, "What in the world are you doing?" I said, "Well, the world's going to end." It ain't going to end until he says. I don't care. And it's a great thing to read. Go back and read the history of the Mayans. It's actually very fascinating. And actually, on that date, if they are to be understood, the sun is going to be in a place it's never been before. Whoopee! I got other things to do. We get wound up over the dumbest things. When will it be time? People are spending so much energy on wanting to know when the world ends, that's going to make them happy. And what happens when the world ends? Those same people will be going, "Ma'am, what's next?" I watched my children this week. They were going to be babysitted on Saturday in the afternoon at around 5 o'clock. And they started asking me, "When will it be time to go to the babysitters on Wednesday?" And I got to looking at them and I got to thinking, oh my goodness, I'm just as bad. Patience is what David writes about. Patience is what Jesus had us learn. Patience. His whole existence was patience. Tell me. If you don't hear patience being taught in this scripture, if you care to follow along, Luke chapter 8, verse 40. We know the story. You don't have to follow along. I'll read it to you. But it is a story of absolute patience. Luke 8, verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him. A crowd welcomed him. For they were all expecting him. And then a man named Jairus, ruler of the synagogue, came and he fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him, "Come to the house," because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, and here's the story, the crowds almost crushed him. Stop right there. I recently watched a documentary on how they secure a pope. And they say that if you are in the Holy Square in Vatican City, when they start putting the smoke in the chimney, you literally cannot move. That the area is only supposed to hold something like 30,000 people and 200,000 pack themselves into it. Can you imagine? If you're tucked in like this and you suddenly want a hot dog, that's a crushing crowd. Jesus was in a crushing crowd. The Bible says, Luke the writer, Luke the physician says, as Jesus was on the way, the crowds almost crushed him. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up to him and touched, touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Just touched. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, there are people crowding and pressing against you. Everybody's touching you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out of me." The woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Patience. 12 years of doctors trying to fix her. Patience. 12 years, I'm sure, of going, when will it be time? 12 years. Here comes Jesus in a crowd, crushing in, pressing on. If you close your eyes, you can see that scene. You can see the disciples trying to push everybody back. You've seen the scene time and time again when somebody famous goes somewhere, they're pushing and trying to get and touch, and people are holding them back. And this crowd was so big, it was crushing and it was holding in. And this woman came forward and had given up all hope. She knew that if she could get to Him and just touch Him, He felt it. He felt that connection, just like He felt it the day you saved me. He felt you. In that crowd, Jesus showed patience. He said, hold it. We're going to find her. And I'm going to love her. The psalmist David writes, patience. Not when will it be. Patience. Jesus says, your faith, daughter. In the midst of all this, He draws her in and He says, your faith displayed saved you. And patiently loved her right then. If Jesus Christ can do that then, He can definitely do the same for you, sitting in a pew with about 3 feet around you on each side. Amen? When will it be? We need only look around at what we're doing day to day and see where patience is absolutely, honestly, necessarily a branded virtue. You should put it on your head backwards so you see it in the mirror in the morning. You got to deal with everything that life has, right? None of us are insulated from that. Children, patience. I don't do well in that department. I do pretty good when we're in the shop. Friends. That calls for patience. Family. Co-workers. All of it screams out, when will it be time to tell them what you think? When will it be time to do what you think is right? When will it be time? But it screams out, be patient, just like Lord and Savior has been patient with you. And I know many of us are sitting there right now going, preach it, preacher. Yeah, patience. And people are making me nuts. I got a lot of people I need to be patient with. Ready for the kicker? Put your toes out. You're the child. You're the friend. You're the co-worker. You're the family member. You're the someone that someone is asking patience to deal with. You're not laughing. Not funny. And what do we get taught? Who is the strongest in this category? Who looks at us when we're going, when will it be time? Jesus. The most patient person, most patient individual ever. Looks at you in your daily walk when you put your chest out and you say, I'm a Christian. And you walk around like that. Yay! Good! And then when you forget you're a Christian for the person that's fell down beside of you. When you forget you're a Christian because I just can't forgive them. By golly, that is a word that we ought to just wear every day on a shirt. Christians, that is the biggest stumbling block that we ever had. The Bible is full of children asking when will it be time and Jesus saying wait. And here's a few examples. Peter walking on the water. I got to be like you. Till I sank. When He calmed the storm. When He turned water into wine. when he healed this woman, when he walked out of the tomb 3 days later, he teaches us, when will it be means be patient. So when will it be time for you? I'll go back to that. Forgiveness is the worst word a Christian can use. Sorry. For me, it's the worst word. I don't do well at forgiving all the time. I'm getting better. But we don't. We get caught behind this mantle that we're Christians. And we forget that the number one thing about Christians is, say it. Nobody brave enough? Say it with me. Forgiveness. Say it again.
Forgiveness.
That teaches patience. That teaches you when you're ready to ask, when will it be? Forgiveness, patience, okay. Because you're the child, you're the friend, you're the family, you're the co-worker that's making somebody else mad. When will it be time to step away from that stumbling block and you just look at that word and go, you're right, you're right. I need to forgive. I need to recognize the plank in my eye while I'm looking at the speck in my brother's. It's hard to do, ain't it? Hard to say, I forgive you. I know you come into the farm and you got my brand new tractor. It only been here for 30 days. And you took it out to pull a couple hay bales out of the fence row and you run it into the big oak tree and put a big scratch on the hood. I forgive you. But then, hey, I feel better. I feel patient. I feel, thank you. Doesn't mean it's always going to happen. It doesn't mean that you're expected to. It means that you're supposed to strive for it. It doesn't mean you're always going to be able to. But it also doesn't mean, when will it be time that under patience you can forget about forgiveness. Those are two that go together, those two words. Here we go. Patience, forgiveness. Patience, forgiveness. Patience, forgiveness. Or forgiveness, patience. Forgiveness, patience. I'm not going to let go of this one, folks. It's bothering me this week. There are those who know why. And then, peace. Healing. I forgive you. I don't care if you forgive me. You're wrong. I'm right. I'm wrong. You're right. I'm sorry. I forgive you. If you don't want to, I'm moving on. Patience. Love. Want to know the greatest answer to give out? When will it be time? Want to know how to answer that question? I got the answer. And not because I'm that smart, just because I got lucky today that he was paying attention to what I was writing. Here's the answer to when will it be time. Ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish and have everlasting life. We do not say that enough. We do not act it enough. We do not preach it enough. We do not live it enough. Or we wouldn't be, when will it be time? We'd be finding patience and forgiveness more often. Say it. For God so loved the world. Let me hear you.
For God so loved the world.
Louder.
For God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten Son.
Amen. That's the answer to when will it be time. That's what we look at when we go flying backwards into that psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord. David writes those words. And he turned to me and heard me cry. And what does he say? He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Amen. You awake, Marge? Sorry, got a little wound up. Can't say it won't happen again. It's what I live for. It's what I opened up my heart for. It's what I decided I couldn't. I am a strong guy. You ask anybody, I'm a pretty strong old boy. I can throw things around. I can lift things. I'm pretty strong. And I can't hold my own dumb self up. I can't even walk. I can't do anything without Jesus Christ. I can't live. I can't breathe. I can't forgive. I can't be patient. I can't find the answer to when will it be time. I can't see what there is around the corner unless I open myself up all the time to Jesus Christ and go, I failed again. Help me. And that's what the psalmist writes. I waited patiently. He heard me cry. He set my feet on a solid rock. That's the word to spread. I started with a Ken Davis story. And during that old monologue, he came to another story where he talked about patience. Ken said, in my younger days, we would go down to Galveston, Texas to go to the beach because at the beach, I didn't look so white. At the beach, I could get tan. And in my younger days, all I wanted to do was be a movie star. And if you've never seen Ken Davis, he looks like a smaller version of me. So he's not going to be a movie star. And he was talking with a man who was going to put him in an industrial film. And he said, at that time of day, that's all I wanted to be, was a movie star. And if being in an industrial film meant that I was going to be lifted up out of this and become a movie star, then so be it. And so I sat on the beach with this man. And my wife was supposed to be in charge of the children. And she thought I was supposed to be in charge of the children. And the children were not in charge of. And my daughter, with the whole beach in front of her, went and found a place where the sand and the seaweed washed up into the nasty smelling water because it had green in there, and green was her favorite color. And so she went and rolled in it. And she covered herself with seaweed, and she dipped them down into her little bathing suit, and she put them all over her hair and her face, and covered herself with this nasty ook. And she came running down the beach where I was with this man talking about becoming a movie star. And she hit me at 30, maybe 40 miles an hour. I'm not quite sure anymore. And as she slammed into me, she goes, Daddy, I love you. I love you. I love you. And she kissed me on the mouth with all that nice, nasty water. And she put the hook that was on her onto me. And she says, I love you. I love you. I love you. I kill you with my love. I am the love monster. And I was covered with that stuff. A man sitting next to me stood up and brushed some of it off of him. And he looked at me and he said, can you ask her to go away until we're finished here? And my daughter had just loved on me. And I looked at him and I said, we are finished here. There is no way that I could ever be in business with you after seeing the bursting love of a little child so in love with her father that would kiss him and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I am the love monster, that I ever want to be in business with somebody that cannot be patient for that. And I got up and I picked her up and I walked away. Amen! To my brothers and sisters that I face, I love you. I love you. I love you. I'll kill you with my love. Literally. Give me a hug, I'll show you. When will it be time? Never. It will only be time to gain more patience and wait. The psalmist writes those words, I waited patiently for the Lord. When will it be time? It'll be time when He says it's time. It'll not be time when we says it's time. Verse 17, yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Oh my God, do not delay. Let us pray. I'm a little overwhelmed, Father. I pray for each of us in this room that we would find each of a person outside of this room And that we would show them how much love is through the patience, instead of waiting for what's new and what's fascinating and what's coming and when will it be new and when will I have this and when will I have that. We will remember the words of the psalmist and say, we wait on you for us to bring us out of the muck again. Every single person within these four walls needs extra prayer so that they can take it from these four walls and give it to every single person they know that needs extra prayer, and on and on. So no longer will it be, when will it be time, but someday I'll be with you. Capture us, Father. Capture our heart, our hurt, our desires, our want. Capture it. Hold it. And pick us up. Plant us where you would have us, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we sang the last hymn, this is a place of prayer. Did you know that? Did I not say that last Sunday? This is a place of prayer. If there's something that's been weighing on you, this is the place. Don't worry about people looking at your back, because they're going to be moving forward to pray on top of you. If there's a need, if there's a want, if there's a desire, if there's an extra prayer you want to pray, hear while we sing this last hymn so that I can help. Join with me.
Please stay in turn number 79.
And purchase.
minutes. And life is going to take back over. And it's going to begin its assault all over again. I pray my words from Jesus, from God, are what helps. I pray that you turn into the Bible and strengthen. I pray that in the week to come, it's not when will it be, but patience, Father, and teach me forgiveness. I pray these into your quiver for your strength this week. Unto all my brothers and sisters here, my family. And now may the saving grace be upon you from the Lord, the Savior, and the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.